As a reminder to media members on the call, just hit star one on your keypad if you have questions for any of the coaches here today. We're now welcoming to the call the head coach of the UNCW Seahawks, Kevin Keats. Good morning, Coach Keats.
Rob, good morning.
Good morning. A great week for you guys as you finish up the regular season with a couple of home wins to win a championship, beat Towson 83-78 and then the Northeastern 74-65. Before we talk about the week ahead, just talk about what went so well in the two games last week for you.
Well, I tell you what, Rob, two really tough games to play for us down the stretch. Obviously, Townsend was coming in, winning 11 out of 12, and even with the fact that John Davis, with his situation, Pat's done a tremendous job with that team, and as you know, they play so hard, they kill you on the glass, they bring a certain toughness, and it was a hard game for us at home, and obviously a couple plays here and there, and we were fortunate enough to get out of here with the win. And then Northeastern, kind of similar to the first time we played them, we got a really big lead early. I thought we defended well and shot the ball well, and typical Northeastern this year, they did a great job of coming back and cut the game to four, and it was a great game all the way down to the stretch, and we were fortunate to win, and it was a good emotional game for us because obviously it was senior night, and I was proud of these guys to be able to stick in there and kind of finish the game, but tough week against two really well-coached teams and good basketball teams.
It's been quite a while since a team has won three straight CAA regular season titles. What does that mean to you to have been able to accomplish that feat?
Well, it's great, and I think it's great for, obviously the community. If you look back before I took the job in the early 2000s, Wilmington was a program in this league that had a lot of success, but obviously had struggled for 8 to 9 years, and I'm be honest with you, I'm really happy for our players. I'm happy for obviously the students in the community. A lot of those guys when I took the job, some of the guys in the program, they had to believe in what I was selling those guys as far as how we're gonna play and the way we're gonna play. And a lot of those guys came here not knowing that, obviously. And I'm happy. It means a lot. This program's come a long ways in a short amount of time. And as you know, with all the respect that we have for every coach and team in this league, it means a lot to us.
We're here with UNCW head coach Kevin Keats. If you have a question for him this morning, just hit star one on your keypad. We got a couple in queue if you'll get this for us, Pasha.
Your first question is from the line of Mark Berman with the Roanoke Times.
Good morning, Kevin. Congratulations on your season so far.
Mark, how are you?
Not too bad. What's kind of emerged as the identity of this year's team as opposed to last year's team?
Well, I think what's happened is, we had a lot of success with last year's team, but we were a little different. I think the biggest difference in this year's team is the emergence of our sophomores. C.J. Bryce played a lot last year, but I thought he hit a wall late in the season last year where his numbers really went down, and actually he's gotten a little stronger towards the end this year. And then Devontae Kaycock, who plays center for us, didn't play many minutes last year, and he's a guy that's been a big part of our success. Obviously his ability to finish around the rim has meant a lot for us. He's leading the country in field goal percentage, and then you add the guys that we have returning, with the seniors of Chris Fleming and Denzel Ingram, and adding Ambrose Mosley, and I think we've got really good chemistry with this particular group.
Obviously, you were able to turn that program around and build it up, and got to the NCAAs last year. What was the coaching challenge for this year's team in terms of trying to sustain that level of success?
Well, it didn't have to come from me. I think because those guys had so much success and they lost that NCAA game against Duke, we had, for the most part, a lot of guys were motivated to have another great year. And, as a coach, the locker room was a little different because they had tasted success, and I think they wanted to win. And, these guys worked extremely hard in the summer and the non-conference, and certainly we ended up with a great result.
If you were in some conferences and had your record, you'd go into the conference tournament not feeling too much pressure, knowing you're going to be going to the NCAA tournament regardless. How much pressure do you guys feel, not knowing if you've what the committee's going to think of your record if you don't happen to win at the league tournament?
Well, you're absolutely right, and it's really a shame. I know all of the coaches in this league, we talk about it. You know, for the second time in a year, this league has been a top 11 conference in the country. You know, last year we were ninth. I think this morning we were 11th, and it's tough. You know, we're excited about the opportunity to play. We got a lot of respect for the teams that we may be able to play in the conference, but it's really, really tough because this league deserves, in my opinion, to have, you know, more than one representation in the NCAA, and I don't know if it'll happen that way.
So how do you, kind of coach your team this week to kind of handle that pressure of, you know, geez, not feeling too tight about, geez, we you know, we can't lose.
Well, you know, we just, you know, what we're going to do is, I don't think you can worry about that. I don't think you can talk about the next year. I think you can only concentrate on the first game that you play, and you can only take one game at a time and, you know, hope your guys are prepared to play in those games. But I don't think you can look ahead. I don't, you know, we won't have any conversations about, you know, the overall picture. We'll just take one game at a time, and hopefully our guys will prepare for that.
Thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Alex Riley with the Wilmington Star News.
Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Alex, how are you?
Good, good. You spent a lot of time in the post-game address with the fans at Trask on Saturday talking about the environment they've created and whatnot, and joke with them about being in Charleston. But with that proximity to Wilmington, with the fact it's only, you know, about a three-hour trip, just do you feel like that will be important, that the fact that Wilmington fans, Charleston fans, the two best teams in the league this year, are close enough to be able to make that trip? Do you feel like that environment could be one of the better conference tournaments, and how important will that be?
Well, I don't know. You know, obviously it's too early to be seen about the environment. I do think that I think the tournament will be well attended, not only from Wilmington and also Charleston, but I think a lot of the other schools. It's a nice city, obviously. It was tough for, I think, most of us in Baltimore. You know, before I coached in the CAA when I was at Hargrave, I had the opportunity to go to the tournament a couple times in Richmond, and it was a great event. You know, a lot of times because of the fact of VCU in Richmond, but, you know, I think Women Mary fans came over and Townsend fans could come over. So hopefully we'll get that same type of draw for this tournament. Certainly the more familiar faces we see, hopefully that makes our guys play a little bit better. But I'm excited, and I hope that I hope that a lot of people will make the trip down to Charleston because, as you said, it's not too far from us.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Alex.
Your next question is from the line of John Tito with HoopsHD.com.
Hey, John.
Hey, Coach. Just wanted to ask about winning close games. So last March, I believe you beat Charleston by 2, Northeastern by 3, and Hofstra in overtime on 3 consecutive days. So when it gets down to a close game in a tourney with everything on the line, is it about outfoxing another great coach who's down the sideline, or hoping that your seniors make the play, or one defensive stop, or how do you coach when it's close in a game in March?
Well, as you know, if you're going to win in March, it's going to always come down to being able to get stops. And I don't know about me, you know, surely, as I said, I don't think any coach is going to outfox anybody at the end. You know, it's one of those things when you look at those games that are close. I mean, players make plays. And, you know, certainly I hope that if it comes down to a couple of those situations that certainly the body of work or the non-conference games that we have played can certainly help push us over the hump. But, you know, it's, you know, at the end, you know, you can draw up everything you want to, but at the end of the day, you got to have somebody that can execute down the stretch, and hopefully when in a situation we get one of these guys that can make a play for us.
Your next question is from the line of Dan Spears with the Wilmington Star News.
Kevin, good morning.
Hey, Dan.
We've talked a little bit about this in the past few games about the three-point shooting and just how, you know, not only the makes but the volume for you guys, and, you know, that this team's about to set a record for most threes put up in a season, and the percentage is pretty high. You're a naturally aggressive guy, but with a team like this where you've got guys that can shoot it a little bit, do you find yourself becoming more aggressive as an offensive coach? You know, saying, you know, you've said before, you know, I'm going to live with a handful of threes because they're working really hard on other things too.
Well, I think, Dan, at this point in the season, and we played 31 games, I think every team takes on an identity. And, you know, with my guys, obviously, they've got tremendous offensive freedom. If I feel like that they're taking good shots, for the most part, we do. We've been all year long, we've been a good passing team. When you look through our assist turnover ratio, and I'm okay with those guys taking a lot of threes as long as they're taking good shots and sharing the basketball and making the extra play. That being said, you know, I'd love to, you know, see these guys get a few more paint touches, and obviously we can work the ball inside a little bit more. But I think at this point, that's part of our identity is who we are.
On the flip side of that, we've talked about CJ and his evolution, especially in the last six games. Was anything said, because he's pulled back from, you know, he still will put up a three here and there, but he was shooting more of them early in the conference season, and that's changed dramatically. Did you guys as coaches say, hey, you're making a lot of twos, why don't you keep doing that versus the threes that were a little hit and miss for him?
Yeah, we talked about it, but Dan, to be honest with you, it was kind of his change. You know, one thing I didn't want to do is kind of put him in a box and take anything from his game, because I think, you know, as far as anybody on our team, he can score from three levels. You know, a guy that can, you know, he's got a really good pull-up jump shot. He's ability to get to the rim, and he can make threes, so I didn't want to take from his game. More give him credit. I think he made the adjustment more. We've always talked to all of our guys about playing to your strengths, and I think he, you know, finally realized that, you know, his strength is his, you know, pull-up jump shot and getting to the rim, and then maybe second or third is his three-point shot. So I think he's playing more to what his strengths are.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, Kevin, thanks for your time today and all season long, and I look forward to seeing you down in Charleston in a couple of days.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, thank you.